Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your admirable, exemplary, exquisite, distinguished, accomplished, superlative, transcendent, distinctive, incomparable, magnificent, paradigmatic, pulchritudinous,
Philandus.
Huh?
What are you talking about? What are you doing?
I'm introducing the radio show.
No, with that accent and those words.
I just thought it would sound good if we spruced it up a little.
If we what? It's 8:30. Ain't nobody got time for that. We got to get this show on the road.
It's the Relentless Pursuit International Radio Show with your hosts, Philandus Harris
and Tamika Sanders. Relentless Pursuit is a faith-based, young adult radio talk show created to bridge the gaps between racial, spiritual, and social divides. We discuss controversial issues that directly hinder the millennial generation from pursuing their God-given purpose.
We want to showcase young adults who are relentlessly pursuing God and their passions in the form of ministry, entrepreneurship, and through their gifts and talents.
Our goal is to equip our listeners with biblical principles that will nurture their dreams and catapult them into their divine destiny.
It's a relentless pursuit.
Everybody, this is your host, Philandus, and tonight's discussion is going to be powerful. I'm absolutely excited about it. We want to thank you for everybody that's listening in. If you invited your friends, your moms, your sisters, your best friends, we're just excited to have you on tonight's show to listen in. And we have a very, very, very special guest tonight from Atlanta. Her name is Diana A. Watley. She's a native of Atlanta, Georgia. She is the founder of the Under New Management Women's Empowerment brand. Her brand was created to help women fulfill their purpose in life and to uplift and enlighten. With 10 years of experience working with women of all ages, Ms. Watley bases her movement from the proverbial theme, "Our people perish from a lack of knowledge." With this theme in mind, Ms. Watley continues her work to tirelessly make a universal difference in the lives of women from all walks of life through her creative messages and sound interventions. Through dedication and an undeniable need for knowledge, Ms. Whatley is making her footprint noticed as one of the world's premier leaders as a motivational speaker. Ms. Whatley's most recent body of work includes her fourth empowerment CD titled Girl, Get Out of Your Feelings, a newly released book entitled Walk on the Bridge While Building It, a Women's Guide to Trials, From Trial to Triumph, her own greeting card line, and a book of affirmations entitled 100 Ways to Be Fabulous Inside and Out, which is co-authored by beauty expert Tone Nicole. Ms. Whatley has many titles, Atlanta's top motivational speaker, life coach, advocate, and author. Yet her new 2016 motto is, just like her Instagram name, hashtag just call me Diana. And so that's Ms. Diana, our powerful guest, and we just want to welcome you and allow you a chance to say hi to our listeners.
Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you, Philandis. Thank you all for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm just ready to do what God wants us to do tonight and change lives. Let's get it done.
Absolutely. And so tonight's topic, as I said, is titled Girl, Get Out of Your Feelings. And basically what we're going to be talking about is the importance of having emotional stability. And that's across the board. That's not just in your relationship with yourself and your relationship with God. That's also your platonic and romantic relationships. That's also your professional relationships. The importance of having that emotional stability, because I'm speaking to someone who knows from experience the detriment of being driven by your emotions and not having control over it. It not only ruins relationships, it keeps you unbalanced. You can't think clearly. You make dumb decisions. You make impulsive decisions. And like my bishop says, a lot of times he warns us against making permanent decisions based off of temporary circumstances. And I like to say that our emotions are temporary circumstances. They're fleeting. They can be here one moment. You could be pissed off the next moment. You could be happy-go-lucky. And so we're just going to be talking tonight about the importance of having stability in your emotions. It's okay to have emotions, but it's even more important to have them in their correct place and to not let them control you. And so it's just going to be a powerful discussion. And I actually want to just start off with talking about the difference between being driven by your emotions and being purpose-driven. Because a lot of times people may not understand what does that mean, that I'm driven by my emotions, or what does it mean to not have my emotions controlling me? And so I want to start off talking about the difference between that, between those two. And so, Diana, if you could, I want you to share what your understanding of the difference between those two are for our listeners.
Awesome. Before I do that, let me preface this entire dialogue and conversation we are about to have by saying this, because the number one question I've got, sis, thus far about this project, about this audio devotional, about this CD, is, am I telling women not to feel? Absolutely not. I am not telling anyone not to feel. Ladies, if you're on the line, if you're listening, I'm not telling anyone not to feel. But what I am saying, like sis said earlier, when you allow your emotions to control who you are, it is going to work for your detriment and not your benefit. And so to your point and to your question, the difference between being emotional-driven and purpose-driven. So if I was to draw it on a piece of paper, it would look like this. When you are emotion-driven, you're driving your life. When you're purpose-driven, God's driving your life. Bishop T.D. Jakes, right, he just wrote a book about your destiny and moving in your purpose. So let me say that again. When you're emotion-driven, you're driving your life. When you're when you're purpose-driven, God's driving your life. When you're purpose-driven, you trust God and his decision for your life, not the Siri or the navigation on your phone, but you trust God. You don't allow friends to dictate what it is you're supposed to be doing or where you're supposed to be going. When you're purpose-driven, you know that you don't work off your own ability, that God is your pilot. When you're purpose-driven, you stop stressing about it and let it go. You sleep at night because you have faith that God will never send you to without sending you through. And so I think that so many times we work off our own ability. That's in being emotion driven. We try to create outcomes. And I said that was the biggest thing that I'm going to work on in 2016, because I don't write nothing that I have not been through, you know. And so one of the things that I said for 2016, my word is relinquish. What does that mean? When you try to control the outcomes and the destiny and who God going to place in your life and what job you're going, when you try to control it, that means you're trying to control outcomes and you don't trust God's favor over your life enough to know that I am going to get you exactly what I want you to have, not what you want yourself to have. My biggest quote I said all the time, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what you have planned. Some of us are driving our own emotions. Some of us are driving our own vehicles. And as a consequence, God can't move because you keep allowing yourself and the things around you to dictate where you're supposed to be going and what you're supposed to be doing.
That's good. You know, I think the biggest thing that's in my life right now is what you said about God not what would you say? You said he doesn't take you to it until he sends you through it first. And I think that's a powerful statement, and it's real, because a lot of times, and I'm going to just speak for myself, I'm not going to speak in general for anybody else. You know, for years, probably for the past 5 or 6 years, I've been praying, God, when you going to use me? God, when you going to bring your word to pass? And you promised me all this stuff, and I keep getting these prophetic words from people about my life, and I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to be this, and this, and that. When are you going to do it? Because my heart desires his will for my life. But what I'm starting to realize now, as I'm in the season of him bringing those things to pass, I'm going through it. So he's testing my character. He's testing my attitude. He's testing my response to things, you know. And it doesn't feel good, you know. It's easy for me to be like, well, God, I thought that you said I was going to be doing this. Well, I am going to be doing it. But before I get there, I have to learn how to not be driven by my emotions, because I'm going to mess up all those opportunities. You know, if he opens a door for me, and it's a huge door that's opening, and I choose, let's say the door that's opening, and I need to go across town in order to have it happen. I can't choose not to go across town where I'm supposed to go because I don't feel like it. And right. And that's an example. If you ever want to be where God is taking you, or you want to see his promises over your life come to pass, you have to learn how to be okay with being uncomfortable and be okay with doing things when you don't feel like doing it, or doing it despite how you feel, you know? So that I think that's real powerful that you said you won't get to it unless you go through it first.
Yeah, and let me say this. On the very first – let me go back. Girl, get out of your feelings. And I think I told you this when I spoke to you and Tamika, early this week. God gave me this vision because it was birthed out of exactly what it was I had to endure if I wanted to get to my new level. And I speak exactly to this on the first track of the CD, the very first track I open up strong, because often we pray for these levels of our life, sis. We want this king, right? We want this this woman to come in our lives, or we want this new business idea. We want millionaire wealth, but we got Section 8 faith. On all of these things, and the minute God begins to transform you, process you, prepare you for what it is you ask for, then we start questioning, why me? What do you mean, why me? You asked for it. Did you think that God would give you a new level without a new you? Everybody, listen to that. God can't give you a new level without a new you. God cannot give you purpose without without process. There has to be a new you, because if you take the old you into the new level, you're going to ruin it, because receiving a gift too prematurely will damage you. You want
Absolutely.
That man in your life, right? Since you want that king, you want that guy to honor you, but you're emotionally immature. And I'm going to say that because I know we're going to talk about relationships later on, but there's levels to this. I think it's a rapper. I don't know his name. I don't really listen to music like that. But there's a rapper out, and he had a song that's entitled There Are Levels to This. There are levels to what God is going to bless you with. But if you get it and you're not ready, you're going to damage it.
Absolutely. You know, that's good. You can't have purpose without process. And process, I would just be real with y'all. I don't know who's on the call. I don't know where you at in life. process is important. It's very key. You can't go anywhere without it, but it don't feel good. And because it doesn't feel good, that's where you have to reprioritize. Do I want the promise and the purpose bad enough to endure the process despite how it feels, despite what it looks like? You know, and it's good that you said he can't do a new thing without a new you. He can't bring you a promise if you're still the same. Because think about it. You guys know my testimony. I came from a lifestyle of homosexuality. I thought I was supposed to be a man, or I thought I was born the wrong sex. So if God was promising me all this stuff that I'm going to be doing great things and I'm going to affect people's lives, do you think I'm going to do that? Do you think he's going to allow that to happen while I was still in the state that I was in, that I was still thinking that I was supposed to be born the opposite sex and I was still doing sinful things? I was still very prideful and I still lied a lot and used to drink all the time and smoke all the time and have sex. That's not the type of person that he was given that promise to. Because the important thing to realize is that even though you're going through your process, when God gives you a promise, he's given that promise to the finished product that you're going to become. So who you are right now, when God is giving you these promises and these prophetic words and all this encouragement, he's not speaking to your current self. He's speaking to your finished self. And he takes you through the process to become that finished person. And so I think that's really good. That reminds me of the you can't put new wine in old wine skins.
And it's true.
And so,
it's true.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I know. No, I was just acquiescing with you. I was just saying that it's very true. But, you know, just think about it like this, everybody who's on the call, because like you said, we don't know what they called about. We just hope that you have a clear and open mind and ready to receive what God has for you next. I think that oftentimes we like where our next is going to be or should be, but we don't want to really go through the valley of it. And I also stayed on the CD, sis, whether you choose, and everybody listen clearly to this because this is so important. Yes, Jesus. Whether you choose the win box or the lose box, you're going to still have to go through the storm. Is that an aha moment for somebody? Because I think that people think, okay, I'm not going to chase that destiny that God wants me to have because I don't want to have to go through that because I know with destiny comes all these other things. So I'm going to just stay mediocre. But guess what, people? Whether you choose to win or lose, the same storms are going to come your way. So why not choose to win? Why not go through
Absolutely.
The storm and you're going to come out brighter? Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. That was good. I'm sorry.
And ladies, I want to interject on that topic, especially you talking about destiny. Last year, God took me through a similar process. You know, he had given me all these promises of, you know, you're going to move to Dallas, and then Dallas is where I'm going to start fulfilling the promises for ministry, for your career, for just everything that I've called you to do is going to be in Dallas, that I'm going to open the doors and all those things. So in my mind, I'm focused on, okay, I'm moving to Dallas. That's the promised land. That's where the promise is. That's where my destiny is. And partway through that revelation, what he failed to tell me is that, okay, I'm going to send you through a process to prepare you for your promised land. And in that process, I had to actually take temporary custody of my newborn niece, who her name was Destiny. And in that, God showed me, okay, if I can trust you to take care of this baby named Destiny, she's a newborn, she lived with me from day one coming from the hospital for 7 months. If I can't trust you to take care of Destiny in the flesh, then I can't trust you to take care of Destiny in the spirit, or wherever I'm taking you, I can't trust you. And so I had so many different emotions about that. My sister, you know, she had issues that she was dealing with. She needed help. She needed counseling. She needed those things. And so God told me to take the baby until she was up. He didn't give me a time limit. He said it would be temporary. Well, temporary is relative. That could be 7 months. That could be 5 years. I had no clue. In my mind, this was an interruption to where I was headed. This was an interruption to me getting to Dallas and moving, and I was focused on that. But God is like, there's some things I have to work out of you. And then in taking care of her, I learned a great deal of patience. I mean, I don't know how many people on the line have children, but if you have dealt with a newborn baby for longer than a week, you know what I mean. you will learn patience. But in that, I also learned how to manage my emotions. Because in those times, you get frustrated, you get mad, you get irritated. I didn't have a whole lot of support. I literally became a single stay-at-home mom overnight. And so during mm-hmm. that time, I went through so many different emotional changes. But because I was taking care of a baby, I couldn't react to those emotional changes. So if I'm frustrated and I want to throw something, I can't throw her. I can't throw nothing at her. I can't yell at her. Mm-hmm. I can't tell her to shut up. I can't, you know, slap her and tell her to get out of my face. I can't walk out and storm out. So every emotion that I felt, I was forced to respond compassion, and I was forced to respond out of nurturing. And so mm-hmm. it worked all of those emotions. I was able to feel the emotions and make a completely different choice, contrary to what I was feeling, and respond the way that it was that the situation caused for me to respond. So I was saying, going through the process, God will put you in situations that, in my mind, it was like if I responded the way that I was feeling, it would have been detrimental to destiny, literally. But I wouldn't have been able to make it to the promised land of moving to Dallas. So thank God, when I learned my lesson, he removed that situation, and then he moved me forward to Dallas.
That's right, because he's not going to give it to you until you learn your lesson. That's a whole other subject. We'll keep it moving, but we'll revisit that. He ain't gonna get it. You can't get it until you get it. That's it.
You can't get it until you got it.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and I think I just admire every time Tamika tells that story because, you know, I wasn't there physically when she was going through that process, but I went and visited her for like a week, and I was helping her take care of the baby. Now, she had gotten a lot further in her process than when she first started. This baby would wake up screaming at 4 a.m. And I'm already a person that doesn't sleep well anyway. I was kind of an insomniac. And so right mm-hmm. when I would go to sleep, she would wake up crying, and Tamika would be asleep like a baby. I was like, how she sleep through this? Why she crying? It's 3:00 in the morning. Oh, my God. Like, I would be the one responding emotionally. And I still to this day, I don't know how she did it, but it's important.
I don't even know
that
how I did it. It was three of us in the house that week, and we all three of us couldn't take care of that. It was terrible. But, yeah,
and
I don't know. God
so,
really something.
Yeah, like, so it's important that when you're in those situations where God is, he tells you the end result. He promises you the end result. He don't tell you about the process. He don't tell you what it's going to take to get there. He tells you the end result because not only does he want you to have something to look forward to when you're going through the hard part, but in those hard times, you have to choose, is destiny more important or is how I feel more important? Is it more important for me to do what I need to do to take care of destiny, whatever your destiny is? Is it more important for me to take care of that, or is it more important for me to give my emotions a vehicle to be expressed?
If he did show us the entire process before, nobody would go through it. Everybody's like,
nobody.
No, I'm good. I'm okay. It's gonna take all of that to get there. No, I'm good. So he reveals it, in parts and in stages, and he gives you hope along the way, and tests and trials, and perfects your faith and your character and all that good stuff.
Yep. And so
that's right.
So like these are some awesome examples of the difference between being emotion driven and purpose driven. You know, Tamika had a purpose. Her purpose was to be the parent of that newborn baby that couldn't take care of herself. She couldn't wipe herself. She couldn't go to the bathroom by herself. She can't feed herself. She can't clothe herself. That's what Tamika was there for. And she learned how to be purpose-driven and not emotion-driven. And so now that we see the difference between the two, we also want to identify some emotional habits that we have, not just as women but as human beings, like, What habits do we have when we get emotional? What are some things universally that we tend to do if we're not purpose driven? And I want to hear from y'all. Like, what do y'all think that are some universal emotional habits that we have that aren't healthy?
Absolutely. Let's just be clear. Some specific ones: doubtful, insecure, jealous, hatred, low self-esteem, not forgiving, not letting go. As a life coach, and I've, you know, been doing this thing for a very long time, those, even with men, are some of the common habits that you see. But guess what? Guess what it all goes back to? You. And we tend to like to blame people for what we feel. No. If you have not learned to this day, what you feel is your own feeling. No one can control what you feel. Now, let's be clear. There are times that people do things to us, right, that will affect how we feel, but what you feel is your business, period. And so some of the common habits, and like I talk to my coaching clients, whether they're male, women, whether they're young girls or older women, can't nobody make you feel insecure when you're doing what you're supposed to do. And I tell people that getting out of your feelings is your new daily habit. Just like you brush your teeth every day, sis, just like women make sure their eyelashes, their eyebrows on fleek. I think that's a new word my nephew taught me. Fleek. Just like you do those basic bathes, hopefully. Just like you bathe every day, getting out of your feelings should be your new daily habit. What does that look like? I'm glad you asked. That looks like investing in yourself. I know it's cliche to say looking in the mirror every day and affirming yourself. I'm one of most people like to say they do that. Do you really do it? Before I walk out that door every morning, because my job in life and the gift that God has blessed me with is to affirm and help everybody else, I have to walk out of that door every morning and make sure I'm armored, because I can't give anything off that I do not possess in myself. So do I look in that mirror every day and tell myself that you are deserving, Diana? You are wonderful. You deserve everything that God has for you. This day will be great. No matter what comes your way, you have already found victory. You are not anybody's treasure. You are God's treasure. You have to talk to yourself and manifest, speak it out into the atmosphere, what it is you are to become. And I know it's cliche because I know everybody says it, but how many people are doing it? How many people know how to really talk themselves out of storm versus stand in their bed every day? And it's not easy, especially, you know, with me. Sometimes, ladies, for real, when I come off the stage after pouring out everything in me, because I'm not perfect, do I have challenges with my king? Yes. Am I still working on areas of my life that I am weak in? Yes. Do I have family issues? Absolutely, yes. And because and that's why I'm always transparent. I never get on a platform and tell you that Diana's life is peachy keen. I will tell you that I had the friends who stabbed me in the back, and my sis, we don't really get along, but I love her. And, you know, just all of these different things. But before I leave my house in the morning, I have to speak to God. And I want to ask everybody on the call, it's a rhetorical question, but how many times are you talking to God? See, God is not satisfied, ladies, with us just coming to him in the nick of time or when you know that bill got to be paid. No. Just as much as you invest in the turn up and the talking to your homegirls and the Facebook and social media posts and hanging out and finding this man, that's God's role. And that's why your life is stagnant and is not producing the fruit that is destined to produce, because God is in your back seat when he's supposed to be in your front. He is. Oh, I just felt it.
That's good.
I'm sorry. I'm in my own seat. I don't know who's feeling it, but I am just, because he is just really working right now. And I just hope that the ladies are really being blessed by what he's just really giving me to tell you on tonight.
Yeah, no, this is good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think that we can even begin to talk about, you know, some of the things that women do emotionally without addressing the emotional brokenness. Because a lot of our habits and reactions and the way that we respond to emotions is one, it can be a learned behavior. You watched how your parents, you know, handled emotions growing up. If you're, you know, lived in a household where your father was, you know, had rage and he threw stuff and he hit it through temper tantrums, or if your mom, you know, responded emotionally and, you know, hit, cuss, yell, whatever, those type of things, those are behaviors that we learn that we have to unlearn as adults in order to be functional. But also, you know, a lot of the times women, we are naturally emotional beings. I don't think we're born with the ability to just know how to manage our emotions, so we look for things. But also, if there's any emotional brokenness, a lot of our responses comes out of that broken place. I think that's important, Diana, when you said that, you know, our feelings is our own business. Because I was actually just telling Solanus this the other day. I have went.
Why
to,
you got to tell my message? I was about to tell.
I was about to say that. Say, I went. You know, I had accompanied someone that was going through a drug rehab, and in the session, one of the things that the lady said was that you're basically responsible for how you feel. You know, no one can make you feel a certain way. And she was saying that whenever you're addressing, like, say your feelings were hurt, you know, going to somebody to confront that, you would say, when you did this, I felt this way. Not you made me feel this way. Because that person didn't make you feel that way. It's something inside of you that you decided to feel that way, or that made you feel that way, or it could have triggered an old hurt that you had, or a bad experience or trauma, or, you know, is your own personal insecurity, or whatever it is, whatever feeling came out of that is your own. The person didn't make you feel it. They could have just been stating, making a statement that their intentions weren't to hurt you. And so so I was telling Philandis, I was like, you know, it's better to say, okay, when you did this, this is how I felt. Not you made me feel this way. No, that person didn't make you feel that way. You know, so I think that's very important that you said today, Diana. Like your feelings is your own business. And I've learned to be more of a person that blames less. Like if my feelings are hurt or I'm offended, I always look what's inside of me. Okay, so, you know, what's going on in my heart? Because what this individual said, you know, necessarily, you know, if they said something that hurt me and I'm crying for the rest of the evening, well, what they said ain't the problem. It's something else going on. And so I don't think that people, you know, they make that correlation. They go and they blame the person. Oh, you made me cry all day and made me hurt my feelings and now I'm depressed. And this. Like, no, they didn't do all that.
Right.
Let me say this because, you know, you know this to be true. We have to meet people where they are. So, you know, we're talking, right? We're talking like, we're girlfriends. So we're talking on the level that we are on. But let me just, God is just really putting in my spirit that there is somebody on the call right now who may not know exactly. They don't know what we're talking about. They're like, I don't know what they're talking about. I know my mom wasn't there, or I know my father wasn't there. I know my sister betrayed me. I know this best friend. I know this man that has been for here. I really just want to, because as I'm hearing you speak, you're talking on, and not to really, you know, throw shade, if you will, to anybody on the call, but we definitely have to know that we have to meet people where they are. So we're not telling you that whoever wrongs you, you're not supposed to be offended. That's not what we're saying. Let's just clarify that. Me or Tamika or Philandis, none of us are saying that whoever wrongs you. We're saying that you are in charge of what you feel. But let's just go back. If you have been wronged in life, which all of us do, I always tell people, ladies, do not question the storm. Question what God is trying to show you as the result of the storm. See, oftentimes when a storm come our way, we stay in the place of, why me, God, and why did you have to throw that? Why this person, and I was loyal to them, and I get that all the time, right? But what is God trying to show you? Is he trying to show you that you give your heart to the wrong people? Is he trying to show you have practice your power of discernment? Is he trying to show you no one is going to bless you in this season but me? So if you wonder why every day you have a good day followed by a bad day, if you wonder why the very people that you've been there for are not there for you, it's because God is telling you in this season that no one is going to get this credit but me. So everybody that's on the call right now, I know you're probably wondering, we're not trying to talk over your head. It's just that we're at a different level of spirituality. We want to get you there. So understand this to be true. God wants to bless you in this season, but he can't bless you until you mature yourself. And what does maturity look like, ladies? We will always talk about maturity because it's a daily process. Let me tell you something. My king, we're 17 years apart. And so, I mean, when I say I feel like he really, really knows God, and sometimes I'd be like, okay, he really, really knows God. So I really, really don't. But it's not that at all. It's his maturity level and what he knows to be true about God. And I'm just, because he's living longer, he's been through more, I'm playing catch up on that. But I'm saying that to say is that who you are connected to should be a mirror of who it is you are to become. And some of you are in the perfect storm with the wrong people. What do I mean by that? Because I know it's oxymoronic to a lot of people. Some of you are in the perfect storm with the wrong people. This is the storm in the season where you're supposed to learn the most valuable lessons, but you can't get that fast enough because of who you are connected to. I don't believe in the BFF. I talk about it on my CD. I don't believe in the ride or die. I talk about it on my CD. Those things are pretentious because if we think about it, anytime you try to grow and stretch out of your comfort zone, the people who were not ready to stretch with you start hating on you. That's why terminologies like BFF and ride or die, those terminologies are pretentious. But if you keep your eyes on God, he's going to give you the kingdom connections. You ain't going to never have to question that again. Never.
It's good. You know, even still going back, because I was going to actually bring up what Tamika was saying about taking responsibility for how you feel. That wasn't the first time I heard that. And I'm gonna say to my followers, you know, or not my followers, but the listeners, you know, just because I know these things, it doesn't mean that I'm perfect at executing them and applying them to my daily life. Because I am a person who struggles with taking responsibility for how I feel and not blaming other people. The reason why Tamika and I were having that conversation is because I'm still at a place where the way people talk to me, if you say something to me a certain way, I can get offended. And I can get angry. It doesn't. You can say something that's offensive, but it's all in the way that you say it for me. And I've come to know, not just through Tamika, but God convicted me. That's an immature way of thinking. You know, it doesn't matter what or how a person says something to you. However, whatever they say, you have the choice to let it make you feel offended or let it make you angry or let it make you feel down about yourself. You choose that. And my counselor even told me that, you know, whenever somebody is doing something or saying something that could really be offensive, she said, that's their baggage. You don't have to take it on. So if I'm having a good day and somebody walk up to me like, you ugly or you smell bad or why you always doing this, you doing too much, I could say, well, why you always got to say all this, and I don't appreciate that, and that made me mad. Or I could be like, well, that's her opinion. I know what I'm doing. I know I'm confident in myself. I'm confident in what I'm doing. And so it's all about a choice. And though I know that, it's very hard to execute that and to apply that on a daily basis. And so I don't want y'all to think that just because we're dropping these mature and deep revelations that we got it all together. I know I don't. And so it's funny because, you know, God has us talking about this subject tonight, and it's the very area that I'm the weakest in. I'm the weakest at not being in my feelings. I'm always in my feelings. Every time I look or turn around, I'm feeling something. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling that. I feel like this. And so we talking about it, but I'm in it, you know. And so I just want y'all to be encouraged that y'all not alone. You know, I'm the host of the radio show, but I'm going through it too. And so I know that we're actually doing pretty good on time. And so I want to talk about the importance of having emotional stability within our relationships. That's in our friendships, with our boyfriend or our girlfriend, if there are any guys on the line. That's with our employees or our employers or whichever position you're in. I want to talk about the importance of being emotionally stable when it comes to being a business person. And I actually want Tamika to kind of touch on that because she is like the one person that I know personally besides my dad that isn't family. She got that down, and I just be sitting back in amazement sometimes, like, how does she do that? And so, Tamika, from your standpoint, why is it important to be emotionally stable within relationships, both friendship, romantic, and business?
That is a hard question, Flinda.
I was not expecting that. I would say, you know, based upon where I used to be emotionally and how I handle relationships, I would say in learning how to manage your relationships, it's trial and error. I ruined a lot of relationships based on my emotions. You know, I was very emotionally impulsive, impatient. And if I didn't get, you know, the result that I wanted right away, it was, I hate you, don't ever call me ever again. Very extreme. And so, you know, it only takes you going through that a few times when you, you know, find yourself by yourself, not really meaning that. When those emotions calm down, and you're like, okay, dang, I just told this person to get out of my life, told him never call me again, told him I hate him, and now you're not feeling that way anymore. Now you're like, oh, well, I really love you. I didn't really mean it. You got to go and try to clean it up. You know, not every person takes that. You know, some people are like, no, you know, you said what you had to say, and that's it, and I'm out. And so, you know, I've made a lot of impulsive relational decisions, you know, getting in relationships because of emotions versus making an informed decision. You know, a lot of us go off of how we feel and, you know, how they feel around this person, and they don't really know the person, and they can fall in love with someone that they don't even really know, where they're falling in love emotionally attached to this person that they don't have no real knowledge of who they are. And when the person starts becoming who they are, they realize mentally, like, oh, this ain't going to work. But at this point, you're already emotionally entangled. And so just going into relationships with with knowledge, so that you're making an informed decision, that although you feel like this towards this person and they make you feel this way, you know in your mind, okay, this isn't going to work. This person is just, you know, they have this habit that I can't live with, or whatever it is. They're not heading in the same direction I am. So, no, you know, they got 10 kids and 5 different baby mamas. That may not work for me. Whatever it is, you know, at that point you have to lead your emotions and not let your emotions lead you, so that you're not stuck in a situation that at the end of the day is not going to be the best thing for you. When it comes to, you know, I think what Philandis is getting at, like she's watched me on a day-to-day basis. She lives with me, so she watches how, you know, I have emotional stimulus, people that say all type of crazy things or things that happen in my external environment, and I kind of just be like, okay, let's rationalize this, let's think about it. You know, Philandis will be panicking. She'll be going crazy. Oh, my God, this is happening. And I'm like, okay. You know, I'm looking at the situation, trying to dissect it mentally and responding out of perfect example, Philandis. Remember what happened with our oven?
And our oven was on fire. Yes, I was just thinking about that. Y'all, no,
we had
let me tell this, because she's going to tell it in the calm way. So I was about to cook dinner, and I turned the oven on to heat it up because I was about to bake some chicken. And I didn't know that there were some plastic dishware that was in the stove. So it caught fire. And we're in a pretty small apartment. It's not like super small, but it's small enough to panic if there's a fire. So it caught on fire, and I'm pacing back and forth like, oh my God, should I call 911? What's going on? Tamika, I look over there at Tamika. She's standing twirling her hair, looking at her phone with her legs crossed with a straight face. And it threw me off because I'm like, did she see that there's a fire going on? Like, what are you doing? And so I'm panicking and going back and forth between, okay, should I panic or should I be calm like her? Because her calmness makes me think that there's a reason to be calm. But then I look at this fire and I see that there's no reason to be calm. So I'm unstable because I'm going back and forth, looking at the fire, then looking at calm, looking at the fire, looking at calm, and I don't know what to do. And so that's a prime example of how she can just remain calm and unmoved emotionally in a circumstance that would cause most people to become emotionally unsettled and overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. And then that stuff, it really just comes from peace. In that moment, I was, you know, as it relates to the fire, I was looking, I was like, okay, it's burning, but it's not consuming. How can I put this out? What's the best way? We don't need to call the fire truck. The stove is not in flames and burning. We just need to extinguish the fire. Okay, so that was my rationale behind that. But in any given time, it's more so just, you know, I have a lot of peace in those moments. My brothers and sisters, they would ask me, you know, it could be a situation where, you know, parents are in an argument at home, just up in uproar, and I'll be walking around washing my hair, doing what I got to do, getting ready, staying focused. I got an appointment at 2 o'clock. I can't let whatever's going on in this house distract me. So I'll just, it'll be as if I'm ignoring it, but I'm not really ignoring it. I'm just not allowing it to distract me emotionally. And my brothers and sisters will be like, Mika, how do you do that? You could be standing in the middle of a tornado, and you'll still be focused and still be emotionally sound, not getting distracted, not getting disturbed about it. And how do you do that? So in my defense, you know, in our defense, that was for me an opportunity to tell them how. There's no other way but God. And so I was able to sit down with them and explain to them, you know, what, you know, the peace of God really is and all of that stuff. You know, my mom, growing up, she was always, her thing was, oh, you're just so nonchalant about everything. And it wasn't that I'm nonchalant. It's really like, in this moment, is there really a reason to get, you know, all up in the uproar emotion to ruin things? Bad things happen when you're acting out of emotion. And I've witnessed those things. And then when your emotion calmed down, most of the time you don't mean most of the things that you said during your emotional moment. And so it's like to say that, I'd rather process the information, say it in a calm way, and that type of thing. So, yeah. But
wow.
Also,
yeah.
You know, before we go on to talking, I also want to open the line for any callers. If there is anyone that has any questions, press 1, please, to be invited onto the call and ask your question.
Yeah, and also if anybody is just tuning in or you just recently tuned in, we're talking about the importance of being emotionally stable, both in your personal life and in your relationships, your business relationships, your romantic relationships, and your friendships. And the title of the show is Girl, Get Out of Your Feelings. It's not just for women, but it just happens to be our guest, Miss Diana, a motivational speaker and a life coach. That just happens to be the title of one of her latest projects. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, I think somebody else was about to say something. Diana, were you about to say something?
Oh, no, we're just, you know, just speaking to what you were speaking on, the track on my CD called Focus on Your 180. It just speaks mm-hmm. to exactly what your ladies are talking about. And for you callers, you need to understand that one uncontrolled emotion can send your life spiraling into a 360 and interrupt the 180 degrees of progress you have made in your life. You know, think mm-hmm. of all the work you've made with maturing yourself, with ridding yourself of bad friendships and bad relationships, with, you know, cleaning your closets and getting rid of old thoughts and old negative comments made about you, old reputation. One response can send you back to where you were. So if you want a reason, if you need a reason to determine why you should stay out of your emotions and allow God to drive where you should be, think about your 180. Think about the progress and change you've made. Think about everything that you've gone through to get to the stage and of life that you're in today. No one is worth you going backwards. No one. I did a message the other day on social media because it really, like, bothers me to see women of God posting, oh, I got this hater and all that. That's immaturity. Every day your project should be working on you, working on you, working on building you. Everybody want to be in a relationship. Everybody want to have B of S and friendships. Work on you. How much time do you spend alone with yourself every day? Work on you. Focus on your 180.
And you know what? That's good what you were saying, because I was actually listening to a sermon earlier by Bishop, and he was just talking about there's nothing more powerful than a changed mind. And he was talking mm-hmm. about how the example of Esau and Jacob in the Bible, where Esau gave Jacob his birthright for a bowl of soup. He came in and made a permanent decision for a temporary situation. His hunger could always go away. He could fix that in the snap of a finger. But he gave up everything that was that he was entitled to as far as his destiny goes because mm-hmm. he wanted some food. And I relate to that so much because, you know, I've been walking with God for, it'll be 7 years this year. And in these 7 years, last year in 2015, I'm just being transparent, that was the first year since I had first gotten saved and started actively walking with God, that I didn't go back to my old lifestyle. And in 2014, it was horrible. The whole year I was battling stuff and going back and forth. And at one point I had just given up. But once a year, every year prior to 2014, including 2014, I had gone back to my old lifestyle. And I was just crying out to God, like, God, I'm sick of doing this, and I don't want this no more, and I'm sorry, and what do I have to do to stop doing this? And Esau did the same thing. Whenever Jacob got his birthright, he cried out to God with tears, and he repented and everything, but the Bible said that he didn't get his birthright back. And Bishop was explaining it in a way that when you keep getting in, stuck in this cycle of making the same dumb decision over and over and over and over and over, no matter how bad you want to stop, you wanting to stop and responding emotionally, saying you sorry and you don't want to do this no more, that's not going to stop you from making that same decision over and over. What's going to stop you from making that decision is changing your mind and changing your response. Don't have an emotional response. And I had to learn that. Whenever I would start experiencing temptation or my ex-girlfriends would contact me out of the blue during a moment where I was feeling lonely or feeling depressed, I had to pay attention to how the enemy sent temptation my way. What times in my life or what seasons in my life would he send temptation? And my problem wasn't that I still wanted to be a lesbian. My problem wasn't that I wanted to still sin. It was that I was responding emotionally to temptation. Me deciding to watch porn or to get into a relationship with a girl or to go and do something sexual with another person, I was responding to an emotion because I was lonely, because I was depressed, and because I felt empty and I had a void. I had to choose, okay, when I feel these temptations coming, when I feel these urges, what am I going to do? Am I going to respond? And based off of what I know that I shouldn't be doing this. I know that this feeling can go away. I know that I'm trying to please God. I know that I don't want to do this anymore. I know that I'm delivered and set free. Despite how I feel, that's what the truth is. And so I had to learn how to stop making emotional decisions based off of a temporary feeling. Because after that feeling went away, every time I backslid, I regretted it. Like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? I don't even like this anymore. You know?
That's right.
And so, that's an example from my own life. And also, I just want to give you guys some keys from what I've learned, how you can recognize when you're being emotionally driven and what areas you are, and also how to not keep making the same emotional decisions. Go by what you know true and not how you feel. So, for instance, I was in college. I graduated college last year. I spent 6 years in college. Most people spend 4 or 5. I spent 6 years. And there were several times I used to have a depression disorder. And there were several times where I would wake up feeling heavy, feeling defeated and unmotivated. And I ain't even wiped the boogers out my eyes yet. I just had all these feelings. I'm just waking up with all these feelings. And this one specific time I had a project due in class that if you didn't pass it, you ain't passed the class. And this one specific day when mine was due, I didn't go to class. Why? Because I felt heavy. I felt depressed. I felt sad. I felt like I couldn't do anything. It was all based off of my feelings, but I knew that I was supposed to be in class. Now, I didn't fail because God worked it out, and I got some favor with my professor, but that don't happen to everybody. And so it's all about doing what you know you're supposed to do as opposed to finding reasons or talking yourself out of doing what you know you should because of how you feel. Excuse me.
Absolutely. So, we have a caller.
Okay, cool.
Okay, caller, area code 214, last 4-0389.
Yes. How are you guys tonight?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I've just been listening to you guys, and it's just been enlightening. And I thought one of the most pivotal questions, which I thought was like a totally profound question, was, you know, how do you stay grounded emotionally? And, I mean, so many people really, like, really need to get that perspective. And my question would be, Could it be that the more grounded I am as an individual, that I could be more grounded in my emotions? Because if I'm grounded as an individual, then my passions would kind of help me control, my principles would kind of help me control my passions, if you get what I'm saying. Because if I make an emotional decision, then it's driven by emotion. But if I live a life of principle, my principle kind of helps me kind of keep my passions in check, if you get what I'm saying.
I was scratching my head because I don't think a lot of people live their life with principles. And one of the things my King and I talk about all the time is people are losing in life because they don't know the principle. And so I do want to say I believe in all paths of God, whatever you want to call them, to be grounded in your foundation, your spiritual foundation will be your guidance for everything else. That's kind of how I would, you know, answer that question. And so I would also say it's a daily work. It's a daily work because somebody, I can't remember if it was Tamika or Philandis, but one of you ladies said that when the devil knows what aggravates you. And I listened to actually a T.D. Jakes message, I can't even remember what it was called, but he said, God has to get permission to access you.
Yep.
So when you think about your life and the trials and the things that come your way, they're there to only make you stronger. I know that in the flesh that sounds like, okay, God, why would you do that? You know me. You know that certain things make me mad. If I get you to this next level and you are still affected by the very small things that were placed before you on the other level, then you're not progressing. And so I would say make it your daily work to be grounded in God. When you're grounded in God, you're focused. You're in solitude often. You're taking away the distractions of life, the people, the naysayers, the haters, your coworkers, your family members who don't want to see you do what. You're taking those distractions away and say, you know what, God, it's just me and you. Because at the end of the day, that's all it's about. It's just me and you. I need to do this work. I need to do a new thing, and I can't do it without you. So you're right. The principles are very important, but to be grounded in your spirituality makes the rest of your life grounded, and that's just my opinion.
And also, so how would I get to that place, though? Like, I'm not a very churchy type person. I mean, I believe in God,
right.
But I'm not like there yet. Like, what are, like, some practical applications that would, like when you say grounded in your spiritual place, I'll be honest, I have no idea what that means. So, like, how do I get there?
That's beautiful.
I was going to say one thing. Because I kind of sensed that you weren't talking about spirituality when you asked your question. I think that even if you're thinking about it outside of spirituality, just who you are as a person, I think being grounded in who you are, if you don't believe in God, you know, you still have to have some type of foundation where you know who you are. If you identify as a strong person and you don't quit and you go get what you want, you're relentless and you're a go-getter, you have to be grounded in that. And once you're grounded in that, you won't make any decisions that are contrary to you knowing that that's who you are. So if I'm a strong person, I'm a go-getter, and I see something I want, and I'm going to go get it no matter how long it takes, no matter how hard it is, I'm not gonna give up doing that because I know that I'm relentless. I know that I'm a go-getter. So if you think about people who are famous and well-known, they're famous because they're grounded in who they are and they don't make impulsive and inconsistent decisions. People who are actors, they are actors, you know, they're successful because they've gotten to a level, I don't want to say mastered because we are all still growing, but they've mastered it.
I'm a saved person. I'm saved. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just kind of still growing, if you would, but yeah, I'm saved, and I was asking from a spiritual perspective because I'm at a place where I know the show says, "Girl, get out of your feelings," but at the end of the day, it kind of piqued my interest because we all need to get out of our feelings, if you would.
Right.
So I guess what I'm asking is, how do you arrive at a place of such wholeness and oneness with God where you can have that level of intimacy that will cause you to be able to kind of be grounded in the principles, or even bigger than that, how do you get to a place where I could have enough wholeness and oneness within myself and that same wholeness and oneness with God where he can kind of guide me through that process? So are there any practical steps that you guys could suggest that I can, like, begin doing in a very practical manner to get me to that place? I would really love to get to that place because I think life would just be much better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me just say this. one of the first things I tell my clients is to clean your closet, not just the physical sense, but in the metaphorical sense. There are toxic things that we have in our lives that we created. There are something you can look at right now that's in your life that you created that you need to maybe even delete or push pause on. You understand what I'm saying? Some relationships that you may need to say, okay, because you can't get solitude in a group. You can't get solitude in a group. So you need to ask yourself, which is very rhetorical, one of the things I tell my clients is, how much alone time are you spending with God? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I am not a religious person. I am a spiritual person. Having relationship with God is not going to church, but being able to hear his voice. And don't need to go into church every Sunday if Monday through Saturday you're living your life the same way. What are you doing Monday through Saturday that's going to make the difference? How often are you talking to him? How can you hear his voice if you're always in a group? I want to encourage you to spend some alone time with yourself so that you can begin to hear his voice. That's the very first thing. And after that, I would like to really keep in touch with you, but you have to, like, delete, press pause on what's toxic. It's even yourself or your habits. And then after that, you need to spend some alone time because it's difficult to hear his voice when there's so much going on in your life. And you have to make that a part of your schedule. That's what the first two steps I would definitely encourage for you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Don't hang up. Don't make sure you get my contact information before we close.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you have a website?
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. Want to tell that information, Ms. Diana.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You want me to go ahead and tell it?
Yeah. Where can people find you online? Where can they find your materials? How can they get in touch with you? I want you to share that information.
Absolutely. I'm just going to be direct. My best mode of assistance is for you to call me personally at 770-376-7866. Let me repeat that. 770-376-7866. Also, via the email, my email address is U as in under, N as in new, M as in management, UNM coaching, COACHING. I hope I spelled that correctly because I'm going fast, at gmail.com. UNM coaching at gmail.com. I will contact you specifically and directly because the kingdom and the body of Christ needs to know the applicable steps. And I'm glad he asked that. I like to hear people ask, what's going to take? What is it going to take for me to get to the next level? Contact me there. Let's talk. Let's keep in touch. I'm offering coaching specials the month of March for March Madness. So let's just get you what you need to move to the next level. That's for everybody.
Thank you. I got your number and your email. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sir, for tuning in.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Coach D, do we have any other callers? I guess not. Okay. So basically we're a little bit over our time here, but so we want you guys to take advantage of the contact information that Ms. Diana just told us. We want you guys to get the coaching that you need. We want you to get the empowerment and the encouragement that you need. We want you to grow and just get the help that you need. And so we want you to take advantage of that information. And also, we want you guys to be sure to tune in next week on Monday for our entrepreneurship segment. We're going to have a powerful show on that day as well. And if there's no more callers, we just want you guys to have a blessed evening and a safe night. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just talking and I was on mute. But you do have a caller. That would be me. I tell you, I'm just sitting up here. I mean, this show has just been so meaty, so meaty. And I've just been sitting up here tap dancing. And when you said, do you have another caller? I'm just, yeah, me. And I forgot I was on mute. But I just wanted to say this has just been an awesome show. And as I'm listening to this show, you know, ladies, all I could think of is processing the pain. This is like some of these shows just kind of cross over. And so I was just thinking, wow, this would have just been an awesome crossover for processing the pain because really that's what we're teaching our listening audience is about, processing the pain and moving beyond the pains that life brings us, because as long as we stay there, we're stagnant and we can't walk in, you know, purpose, nor can we begin to receive the promises of God if we're not in purpose. So I just love what this show is about, the emotional part. And I always know for me, when I get to a place of emotions, when I start showing a lot of emotions, I always say that's the bottom of my cup. You know how you, when you, only way I can explain it is when you get sick to the stomach and you you came up with everything you can to the point where you get where there's nothing left, and it becomes bitter, and it becomes, it's the bowels, basically, that you begin to, and I know that sounds graphic, but that's the best way I can explain when you're not feeling, refilling yourself, when you're not spending that quiet time, when that vertical relationship is off. You know, that you begin to get emotional. You begin to get, you know, feisty and frustrated and agitated, and everything snaps. You know, you snap at everything. And that's when God starts showing me, oops, you're empty. It's time for you to refill. Be still and know that I'm God. So I love the show. Uh-huh. Thank you, ladies, so much, because this was your dynamic show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no
Absolutely.
Problem. We enjoyed it as
well. Sorry, sis, and can I just let them know that if they want to purchase the CD, they can email me directly for a hard copy, or they can feel free right now to go on Google, iTunes, Amazon, and get the project. It'll change your life. It's just step-by-step on life, leadership, warfare, relationship, friendship. How do you get through? It's giving, and I give applicable steps on that. I give three or four steps on each track on how do you just move forward to your next level and let it be your daily practice. So, again, if you didn't get my email address, it's unmcoaching@gmail.com. My number is 770-376-7866. The CD right now, I'm doing a promotion, buy one, gift one, because we all know somebody who could benefit just from a good word or a God word. Both of them are good. And so I'm doing two CDs for $20, and the CD individual is $13.99, so you'll benefit by getting two. So thank you so much for having me, though, and I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Well, you guys have a blessed and wonderful evening, and we will see you and talk to you and hear from you next week on Monday at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Sounds good. You be blessed, sis, and I love you guys.
I do.